the biggest stories from the pages of the London Free Press and lfpress.com. This is the London Free Press Podcast with your host, Rachel Gilbert.
Welcome to the London Free Press Podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Gilbert. The Memorial Cup begins on Friday in Saginaw with the London Knights facing the Drummondville Voltigeurs, Saginaw Spirit, Moose Jaw Warriors as well. So today, of course, I'm talking with London Free Press sports reporter Ryan Pyatt about what we can expect to see during this year's tournament. Hi, Ryan. How are you?
I'm good. I'm really good. I'm rocking a great hairstyle ahead of the Memorial Cup.
That's right. That's your play. That's your Memorial Cup hairstyle. I love it. Yeah. And you're getting ready to go to Saginaw. You're heading off soon.
Yeah, it's exciting. I've already been to Saginaw in the playoffs, so it's always good to go back. They got, I think a lot of people in London have gone to Michigan, but you know, like Meijer is a great grocery store, and you know, obviously they have Target that we don't have anymore. So
Target, yeah. Of course.
Yeah, and I think the problem in Canada was it wasn't the American Target. When we had it, so people were disappointed by it.
Yeah, you can get all your American shopping in while you're there, in between all the games, of course. So let's look ahead at kind of all the teams that are in the tournament this year, starting with London, of course. Do you think we're evenly matched? Do you think these four teams, like, how do you think we're going to stack up against one another?
Well, I think London will stack up very well. I mean, they had one of the great runs in OHL history in the playoffs, 16-2. And, I think what I'd say, Rachel, is that the three league champions, Drummondville, Moose Jaw, and London, they're all coming in hot. Like it wasn't a struggle for them to win the league championship. They swept the finals. That's the first time that's ever happened, like in 50 years, that they've all swept the finals. So they're all coming in with great confidence, and they're all coming in with a rested, right? Sometimes I remember, I want to say in 2013, when London beat Barry in game seven, that the final second when Bo Horvat scored, they celebrate, and then they had one day, and then they had to like get on the plane and go, you know, so you're kind of, again, you're behind the eight ball right away. Mm-hmm. And all of these teams have had a week off, so they've had a chance to rest some guys and kind of refocus. And it's going to be nothing like we've ever seen. I want to say the first two or three games should be at a very high level. I think Saginaw had just enough rest. Like, it wasn't like I've seen tournaments where like the team lost in the first round, the team that was hosting, and you know, Saginaw was right there. They took London the six in the conference final. They haven't sat for like a month or 2 months or something like that. Mm-hmm. So they'll be ready to go. And obviously, you know, Saginaw, to me, looking back, the way Oshawa played in the finals, the final was London against Saginaw, right? Basically, mm-hmm. for competitive reasons, because the Knights basically wiped out the Generals. So, you know, Saginaw is a real good host, and you know, I could see them winning it.
You could see Saginaw winning it?
Well, I could see them. Yeah, just like, I don't think Saginaw couldn't beat London in a best of seven series, but in a one game winner take all, they've got all the stuff you need. They got all the ability to do that. And you know, I've seen some tournaments where the host, like, you're pretty much guaranteed that they're going to be the first team out. And that's not the case this time. I could see Saginaw just competing with these teams, just like a league champion. So it's very interesting that way.
Yeah. Well, I was going to ask you, who is the favorite to win? Who do you think?
Yeah, I think just the way London, the way they're playing right now. And I mean, 12 for 21 on the power play in the finals. And, you know, Oshawa they're a good team. Like, they're a top 10 team in the CHL this year, and they wiped them out. I think they got I think London would be the favorite. They played in this rink. Some of these guys, Barkey and Cowan, have probably played there 12 times in their career. They're familiar with the whole setup and what's going on there. And, I think Drummondville, I think the way they took out Bay Como, who was favored, that was really impressive. And to me, I watched Drummondville a bit, you know, on video the last couple of weeks, and they like to shut, they kind of take their cue from the other team and try to shut them down. So they'll be out there trying to shut down Barkey, and Cowan and all that. But you know, the Knights are a deep team, right? You got Haltonen and all those guys that can score. And the first game against Drummondville there on the weekend will be really interesting to see the way that this tournament's gonna play out.
Yeah. Okay. Well, of course, we're all watching Easton Cowan. But there's a lot of great players on the team. We got two players coming back. Landon Sim and Caleb Lawrence are back playing with us now again. So, you know, who are the players to watch on the London Knights? Seems to be tons to pick from.
Yeah. I mean, everybody watching Cowan, of course, because, he was the OHL MVP and then he was the playoff MVP. And, you know, I remember Mitch Marner did the, he did the triple. He was a Memorial Cup MVP, right? So, and Cowan's playing at a very high level, like just keeps getting better and better. Very exciting for Leafs fans. Yeah, you know, the future, very exciting for Knights fans right now.
Of course, yeah.
But I would say, the Knights are such a solid team. But, Michael Simpson in net, we've said this from the minute they got him in September, it's like, if they get to the league final or the they won the league final by such a great amount that it didn't really matter who's in net. But, these games, in the Memorial Cup, he's been there. Not a lot of guys have been there at the Memorial Cup. A couple of the Quebec guys have, but he's been there. So he knows what it's like. And he went to the semis last year and he wants to take that next step. So there'll be, When you get there, they got such a good defensive system under Dale Hunter, and they got such good defensemen that, but even in the Memorial Cup, you're going to get, so when you saw like three or four good quality scoring chances against, he's going to see seven or eight at the Memorial Cup, just based on the talent of the teams and the dynamic of the tournament. So he's going to have to be really good, and, he can be. So, that's important for London, and he's got to be one of their better players.
Do we have some of the best players in the whole tournament, do you think?
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure. Like, there's not a goal scorer like Kasper Haltonen. I mean, he scored eight goals in the finals in three games. And, he's the best sniper there. He's got the hardest shot.
Yeah.
Cowan and Barkey and Bonk, I mean, what can you say about them? That's when they drafted those guys, that started this whole run here where they went last year to the finals, going to the cup this year, and they're probably going to be great next year, right? Which perturbs the league to no end, the rest of the teams. But, that's the way it is. And that's the way the Hunters build it with the core group of guys, and you surround them with great talent. And, I think the Knights are, I've seen the other two teams, the 05 team and the 16 team that won, and this team shares a lot of those same qualities, right? In terms of team closeness and the way they get along and the way they fit the roles, right? It took a couple months. Guys were trying to do too much by themselves, and it always takes time to trust your teammates, and they have that now. So it should be a good showing for the night. I'd be shocked if
they
were like one of the first teams out of the tournament.
Okay. All right. Well, speaking of the Hunters, Dale Hunter, he's got the most experience, I guess, being in the Memorial Cup of all the other coaches. Compare the coaching staff of each team. How do we fare there?
I really found it interesting in the conference final that Saginaw's Chris Lazary, wasn't afraid to go to criticize the Knights and take shots at the Knights and that sort of thing. And, to try to win the referee's favor put the Knights on their heels. But Dale Hunter's done that. He's seen it all. He's been in every situation in the tournament, even in the Memorial Cup. This is, number six for them in the last 20 years. So, I don't think anybody's going to outfox Dale Hunter on the bench. I thought he did a tremendous job this year. He obviously wasn't coach of the year, but there's a lot of years where you could have said Dale Hunter was the coach of the year. And I thought he coached tremendously. And I thought the fact that, he lost Logan Hunter, his nephew, to cancer. His father passed away at the start of the year. And Dick and, I thought he was just at the end of the, when they beat Oshawa, he was kind of emotional about it. He doesn't get super emotional, in public, but he said it was just meant a lot that the team won this year, right? And you know what this team's gone through, Rachel, over the last couple of years. And, you know, it meant a lot to them, but they seem to not be done. And I think that's the thing you got to do with the Memorial Cup is you got to get your team to realize that even though you accomplished something great during the season, that there's just one more sprint to get through. And the Hunters know that. They've been through this. They've had failures at the Memorial Cup. They've had successes. Yeah, they're the top staff in terms of there's a great coach. Every team there has a great coach, but you know, these guys are in a different category, right?
Yeah, for sure. Let's talk about some of the other teams. Drummondville beat Bay Como to get here, which was not expected from them, right?
Yeah, so Riley Mercer, the goaltender for Drummondville, he stood on his head the first two games in Bay Como. Like you said, they weren't the number one seed. Bay Como was. And he got two straight shutouts, stopped about 70 shots. And, you know, I think that deflated, you know, Bay Como. So, you know, they went home and won a couple close games. But, you know, unbelievable job by the goalie. And if you have a great goalie and enough players, you can get the job done. So it'll be interesting to see if someone could light this guy up, right? Because he's been playing at a very high level the last, you know, couple weeks.
And is he the player to watch on that team? Are there others?
Yeah,
that we should
I would
watch for-
I would think so. They have a great defenseman, Komarov. He was the MVP of the playoffs, so he was good throughout the playoffs, and he's a big guy. He reminds me a bit of Nikita Zadorov, if I use the Russian comparison. We watched him with Vancouver kind of come into his own in the playoffs this year, former Knight. And he's a, you know, big body that can make things happen. So, you know, they got to, like I said, they're kind of take their cue from the other team and they don't impose their will, but they'll blanket you and shut you down and frustrate you, right? Which is what it seemed like they did with Bay Como.
Mm-hmm. Saginaw, of course, they've got home ice advantage. You did talk about them a little bit. But give us maybe a little more about their team this year. They're not bad. They're going to do well in this tournament. But what should we watch for them? What can we expect from Saginaw?
Yeah, I think they're up front. They're very deep. They could score on any line. Like their fourth line has a bunch of veteran guys on it, which most teams have younger guys, right? And younger quick guys. These guys can play heavy if they want. Obviously, everybody will be watching Michael Misa, the exceptional player from he's the face of the franchise. You know, he struggled against the Knights, and the Knights are a great defensive team, and they're older players, and he's just turning 17, right? So it was a tough grind for him. It's going to be a tough grind here, but if this guy wants to be the number one pick or a top five pick in the NHL next year, then he's got to perform against these older players. So he'll be a good guy to watch. And Zane Parekh, defenseman of the year in the OHL and very offensive minded, more like an Erik Karlsson than like a defensive kind of stud. But when he gets rolling with the puck, you know, it creates problems for defense and it did for London, you know, as good as London was when he was playing at his best, it was a problem for them. And that makes the power play better when he's out there. So very good team. And their goalie missed most of the playoffs, Andrew Oak. So Nolan Lalonde came in and I thought played great. You know, after watching him play in Erie, that was a great move by Saginaw to bring a veteran in to shore up their goaltending just in case. And they needed him. Like, so, you know, I think Oak should be back. He backed up again in the last game of London series. So he didn't get in, but played backup. So that showed me that they're ready to put him in if something happens. So I wouldn't be surprised if after the last couple of weeks that he's good to go. But yeah, like I said, with the crowd behind them, I think I've seen Saginaw in the playoffs get, you know, where it was loud in there. And I think it'll be up another level. And the Spirit have never had this opportunity before. They, you know, they've been kind of an unsuccessful franchise if you look at playoff success. So, you know, this is a real opportunity for them to grab this because who knows? It may never come again for years or decades, right?
Yeah. Now, Moose Jaw, this is their first time at the Memorial Cup. What was different for them this year to make it here?
Yeah, I think Moose Jaw, like, what I want to say about Moose Jaw is they're one of those teams that, you know, they've always kind of been around the mix there, right? Like, you think they might kind of push through and then something happens and they don't get through. That was kind of the history of their franchise. Or they run up against the powerhouse team and they were just, like, a really good team, right? So they finally broke through, and I think I want to say that in the conference Eastern Conference final, they played Saskatoon, who was a powerhouse too. Obviously, Saskatoon, Fraser Minton, Leafs for pick and that sort of thing. So, they went to overtime like nearly every. It was all kinds of one goal games and overtimes, and that's kind of stuff builds character in the team. And Moose Jaw survived that. Yeah, crazy series, like and that really brings your group together if you weren't already before. And then they wiped out Portland, which I was surprised at. I thought Portland was an excellent team this year, and they're kind of like the Knights in the West. They're always kind of in it. Portland, they're always in the mix. Mm. And so for Moose Jaw to beat them out, and especially the way they did quickly, very exciting for them. A lot of momentum. Like it's one of those, we've seen here, Rachel, with Owen Sound. You know, the smaller centers, once they get maybe you'd throw the Sioux in that category. Once they get momentum and they get the whole city behind them and all that, it really is quite a push for these young men. And it's very exciting. And I would say they're Moose Jaw is the X factor in the tournament. They have very good players, both up front and on defense. But you know that when you have that behind you, that's great. The problem they face is that the Western League, save for a few over the years, like the last, they haven't done very well in Ontario for some reason the past little while. So, it'll be interesting to see how they, and especially in their first time, here, how they handle the, I guess you'd say, the glitz and glamour of it. Cause you got to hit the ground running. If you don't win one of your first two games, you're in big trouble, right?
Mm-hmm. So we'll talk a little bit more about, the community support, the hometown support. I know we've got people from London who are, of course, going down to Saginaw to watch the tournament. We're going to have some Knights fans there. Talk about maybe Saginaw having home ice advantage. You said Moose Jaw has, their community support. They really rallied for them there, too. Like, how much of a difference does that make for the team and the players, and having all of that support for them?
Yeah, and so London's obviously the biggest center, dwarfs the other ones, but they're all smaller communities that kind of, this is important to them, right? To have a winning team and all that, and it's not always happened for a lot of them. And I think that support is great, and especially in the case of Saginaw, you hope it builds something. But I mean, it was a dream for the organizers to have London win if Oshawa, in my history, they travel on the final weekend if their team's in it. But you have London, that London's going to – London fans, it's only a couple hours away. They'll cross the border in Sarnia and another couple hours. So,
they're going to drive.
Yeah, they had two sections in the conference final of London. So I filled up. So I would expect, big London support. And that's great for the organizers because – you almost kind of, you hope London's not in it because they might beat you, but you hope they're in it because it's going to help the tournament do well.
The fans are awesome.
If you got Sudbury, say, which is far away, and the other two teams that are smaller places that are far away, you're basically relying on your home fans. I've been to many of these tournaments, right? And it's if you're not within a couple hour range and it's nice out, it's hard to get to. But at this point, all these teams are passionate. Like the hockey base is pumped up for winning a championship, and they want to see if they can win the ultimate prize. So you'll get some people from Drummondville, you'll get a few from Moose Jaw, like family and friends, and maybe a few hardcore fans. But basically, it becomes a TV event where everybody's at home watching on TV, and a community event where you might have watch parties, like you see Toronto, Edmonton, that sort of thing, where they're all cheering in the little square or whatever, right?
Yeah.
So, that's it's an exciting time of the year. It's my favorite tournament. It's so hard to win, right? It's guys are exhausted.
Yeah, this is one of the toughest to win in all of sports. Is that right?
Yeah, I'd say so. I mean, in terms of you like all the other leagues, you got to win 16 games to get there. And that's just to get there. Usually you win 16 games, you're the Stanley Cup champion. You win 16 games NBA or whatever, less than the MLB. The only thing I put up there with is the Junior B, the Sutherland Cup. You got to win your league, and then you play the round robin with the other three, and then you're playing a best of seven. What St. Mary's and Listowel just did. That's pretty tough too. And it goes pretty long. But here we are, that's well and done. And this one's we're going into June, right? We're going to crown the champion in June. And it's been a long season for these guys. They got the draft. They got to build up their bodies for their NHL camps or pro camps or whatever they're doing in August, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, this one means a lot to win because you put so much time into it. And, you know, you hear guys that when they win the Memorial Cup, even like Corey Perry, we say he's won everything, including the Memorial Cup. Well, that's something Sidney Crosby can't say because he didn't win it, right?
Right.
He lost in the finals to Corey Perry and the Knights. And that's what it means. It's just that one extra little notch in your belt. And I'm telling you that what I've seen in the NHL, they watch these turn the scouts and GMs watch this tournament because they want to see who's winners. And I just see these guys pop up over the last 10, 15 years. And you're like, that guy won a Memorial Cup and now he's playing for the Stanley Cup. This guy, you know, same thing. Now he's one of the best players in the league. It just goes on and on, right? With Matthew Tkachuk, you know, here he is in the Final Four again after he won. He was awesome in the Memorial Cup for London, right? Mm-hmm. It just goes on and on like that. Winning breeds winning. And that's you win this tournament and you're going to get some chances in your career that maybe you didn't think you'd get.
Yeah, yeah. All right, well, when's our first game? What are we looking forward to with the Knights?
Yeah, the Knights play. So the first game is always, there's a formula there. And it's like, so Saginaw, the host team, will play Moose Jaw in the first game Friday, and then the Knights in Drummondville play Saturday. I always thought the format should be to make the tournament shorter. They should do like a Final Four format with the first day and have two games on the same day, like one at 3 and one at 7 or something like that. And that would just kind of compress the tournament because it's 10, 11 days. It's wrapped around two weekends. It's a long tournament, but they haven't taken my advice yet.
Maybe next year.
Yeah, there's always next year, right?
All right. Well, thank you, Ryan. Have a great time in Saginaw. We're going to watch your reporting, obviously, from there at lfpress.com. But thanks for joining us today before you head off.
Yeah, no problem.